Thanks for listening to the best of the Odd Couple podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern, 4 to 7 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Odd Couple at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
You're listening to the best of the Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker.
Phillip Rivers, great quarterback, probably a Hall of Fame quarterback despite his lack of Super Bowls. And maybe that lends to why he made this comment. But basically, he said in a recent interview with Dan Patrick that Tom Brady should not be considered the GOAT just because he has 6 Super Bowl rings. And here it is right here.
I remember thinking when the Patriots beat the Seahawks, when they had the interception against the Seahawks down there on 4th-and-1, and that gave them, what, their 5th championship, right? Brady's 5th, I think. You know, everybody said, well, he's now the greatest of all time. I always thought he was already one of the greatest of all time, but because they intercepted the pass, he's now the greatest of all time. What if the Seahawks would have ran it in and the Seahawks would have won? Brady just played the exact same game. He didn't do anything different, you know, but it is funny how that works. So I don't look at that. That's why I always think Marino's right there in the mix too.
Now, as I said, I'm just going to keep it 100. In fact, I'm going to keep it 150. If I were a great quarterback like Phillip Rivers, but hadn't won any Super Bowls, I would take that approach as well. I would be like, this is a team sport. In fact, it's the ultimate team sport. You can't judge these guys on Super Bowls. Dan Marino's the greatest we've ever seen fling it. And he didn't win a Super Bowl, but I still think he's the GOAT. That elevates my position. Just like if I'm LeBron James, I'm going to downplay the number of finals losses. How that Jerry West, he's Mr. Clutch. He's the logo. He lost his first 7 trips to the finals. It elevates my position and decreases the criticism I might receive for losing 5 finals. Or in Phillip Rivers' case, for never reaching the Super Bowl. All right, so I get where he's coming from. And obviously, there is some legitimacy to what he's saying. Dan Marino was one of the greatest of all time. Aaron Rodgers is one of the greatest of all time with just 1 Super Bowl. Phillip Rivers is probably a Hall of Famer. Phillip Rivers is better than Eli Manning. And Manning has 2 Super Bowl championships. But here's the thing when you start talking about Tom Brady and whether or not he's the GOAT. And my contention is that he is indeed the GOAT. He is the greatest quarterback of all time. Now, don't give me the greatest football player of all time because he's not the greatest football player of all time. But he is the greatest quarterback, period. He's got the championships and he's got the individual accolades. And here's when I began thinking that Brady might be the GOAT. Because early in his career, even though he had won Super Bowls, 2001, 2003, 2004, what, that's 3 Super Bowls in his first 4 years as a starter. Okay, so that was great. But at that point, I never considered him in the GOAT conversation. I didn't look at him as a guy that in the future might be in the GOAT conversation. But oh, when 2007 rolled along and he finally got a top flight receiver named Randy Moss, and then he obliterated the record books. He led the NFL in completion percentage, 69%. In yardage, 4,806 yards. In touchdowns, 50. In yards per game, 300. In passer rating, 117. And of course, they went 16-0. During the regular season. Now, they didn't cap it off by winning the Super Bowl. They lost to the Giants and Eli Manning. But when I saw Brady with a real legitimate receiver, when I saw him get a Jerry Rice like Joe Montana had, and he just tore it up. That's when I said, oh, this dude is one of the greatest ever and may end up being the GOAT. And then he follows up the Moss era, if you will, with three other Super Bowls. Now he's got six. He's the GOAT. And here's the thing, folks. I would say it to Phillip Rivers and any and Rob Parker and any of the other naysayers out there. Tom Brady, here are his leading receivers throughout his career without Randy Moss. Troy Brown, Deion Branch, David Givens, David Patton, Rashe Caldwell. Those guys have one Pro Bowl appearance between them or among them. He's won three Super Bowls with that cast. I mean, come on. Then you throw in Wes Welker. Then you throw in Julian Edelman, who was a quarterback at Kent State in college. And then, of course, he got Gronk, but they won a Super Bowl without Gronk. So this is why Brady's the GOAT. Of course, the winning and the intangibles that have led to the winning. The six Super Bowls, the nine Super Bowl appearances. But the fact that he has done it with such a pedestrian, at best, receiving core. And then when he did finally get a blue chip talent on the outside, he went ballistic statistically. That is why he is the GOAT. That's why it's not just the six Super Bowl rings. It's the same thing with Michael Jordan. When you say Michael Jordan's better than LeBron James, the millennials want to say, oh, it's just the rings. No, it's not just the rings. That's a part of it. But Jordan dominated individually in a way LeBron didn't. Jordan does many things better than LeBron did. Free throw shooting, post-up game. I think he's a better finisher. I think he fits in, you know, in a team system better than LeBron, which makes it easier for his teammates to play around him. He didn't dominate the ball like LeBron. There's more to it. But the championships is a part of it. So, Phillip Rivers, I get where you're coming from. I understand it. If I were in your shoes, I'd say the same thing. But the fact of the matter is, Tom Brady is the GOAT. The six rings are a part of the deal, but not the only part of the deal.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker. Weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
The fact that Baker Mayfield called Jones today and apologized, so to speak, and they talked it out, that is different for Mayfield. And Mayfield alluded to it today. He said, look, I mean, I'm paraphrasing, but if I got beef with somebody, I've got beef with them. I've proven that. I'm not afraid to speak my mind about people. We can bring Hugh Jackson, his former coach, to mind, who he called fake. And even recently, he criticized Texas quarterback Sam Erlinger. So I will give Mayfield that. Like, for him to apologize to Daniel Jones, that fits what he's saying. Again, I don't know how in the world that could be taken out of context, but that I if he really had a problem with Daniel Jones, I don't think he'd run from it.
No, but my only issue is he's just ripping on a guy that he has no connection with. Do you know what I mean, Chris?
Yep.
That's the problem. That's why he called. If it was no big deal and this was just Baker Mayfield being Baker Mayfield, he wouldn't have to call. He would say, I'm sticking by what I said. I don't think that kid's any good. But he knows he's wrong to do that. And he knows that the organization said, dude, what are you doing? You can't do that, Chris. Even if you believe it, you shouldn't go out and just rip somebody who you have no connection with. The Giants have nothing to do with the Browns. Why are you doing that?
Well, I said it today. I'm co-hosting First Things First all week with Chris Candy and Chris Carter and Sarah Kustak. And we talked about it today. And I said, look, the fact is this. Like the last quote, the last sentence of the quote I read from Baker Mayfield, they forgot you got to win. Baker Mayfield got to win. He is saying so many things. He's putting such a target on his back that the only way he can overcome this, Rob, is to win.
Right. He has to win.
Right? And look, if he wins, if they make the playoffs this year, he's an MVP candidate, plays well, blah, 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 then this will become part of his lore. Like, people will love Baker Mayfield. Some will hate him, but a lot of people, most people I'd say, will love him because of his brashness. Oh, he's breaking the mold. He says what he wants. He speaks his mind. He's like Joe Namath with the guarantee. He's like Jim McMahon, although, you know, McMahon wasn't an individual great player. But he's like Jim McMahon, who was unconventional, led the 85 Bears to the title. Like, this will become part of his lore. He's this great unconventional leader. But if he doesn't win, he is going to be blasted.
You know what? I think the more he talks and the more he does, he becomes a guy you root against, a guy that you don't want to do well. That's where he's coming across. Because just to attack another player unprovoked, Daniel Jones didn't do anything to you. Do you know what I mean, Chris? Seriously.
I could see where
some fans go, I can't stand this dude. They might not even be a Daniel Jones fan. That's not even the issue. It's like, dude, you won one game against one team over 500, and you're walking around. I get what he did in college. I respect him as a quarterback. I'm not saying he's a bum. But you know you'll get those are people you root against. And it's just bad karma. And you got to be careful about that. I think that's why the Browns made him apologize from the standpoint, Chris, that they just said, dude, it doesn't help you at all. It makes other people want to go hard at you. It makes an opponent, Chris, who has a chance to pull up when they bring you down, right, and not drive their shoulder all the way into you. Do you see what I'm saying?
Yep.
I got you, I could just put you down, or I could drill you into the ground, right?
Well, you got to believe that the Giants.
I'm serious.
I don't know if they even play the Giants this year, but the Giants players will be putting a little extra on those hits.
Don't you think?
No question. And I do agree. Look, in Cleveland, they'll love it if he plays well.
Right.
Outside of Cleveland. And I'm the type that if he backs it up, then I kind of be cool with it. Because I'm like, you know, it's fun to watch.
It's
different.
It's easier,
but you're right. Most people will be like, until it becomes like, look, if 4 years from now he's still winning and he becomes this great quarterback and they're winning, I do think many people will just love him. But initially, like this year,
if they start out 0-2 or 0-3, and say
outside
they just,
of Cleveland, people are gonna be pulling against him. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. But what do you think? Do you think that they Baker and the Browns will live up to the hype? And I mean, some of the hype is just way overdrawn. But I think they're gonna be a wild card playoff team.
I'm not convinced. I'm saying if I had to make a pick right here, right now, not knowing what injuries and other things, I'm going to say no. There's just a lot of stuff, especially with a first-year head coach, Chris. I think that a lot of people have kind of put that out of the realm. Everybody's not a head coach. You know what?
Right.
There's a lot of great offensive and defensive coordinators, and people think they're going to make great head coaches, and they bomb out, and they just are good at one thing, or you know what I mean, or being able to direct half a team, but not the whole team. And so I'm not convinced about Kitchens, and I just don't know where OBJ's head is. Even him and his comments about
still talking about the Giants.
He's still talking about the Giants. They sent me to Cleveland to die, and I think Baker. Did Baker say that? Baker, I think said
no,
that.
No. OBJ said it.
Yeah,
this was personal.
They
sent me here to die.
Did they send him to a minor league team or to another NFL team? I mean,
I'm with you. Look, Rob.
I think
they took the best deal they could get. You know, they wanted to send him out of the conference, out of the division. But here's my thing, and you're right.
Most teams do that.
As much as I like the Browns, there's question marks. But when you're the Giants, if they were trying to send him somewhere to die, they saw And you're right, they only beat one playoff team, you know, with Baker. But still,
right.
This rookie steps in, they win seven games after winning one the last 2 years.
No, right.
They see the other weapons. They see the other talent. If anything, you can make the argument they did him a favor.
Absolutely.
Right? I mean, football-wise, like, he's in a great situation. So, I agree. They're both. And that's the question. Is this team mature enough to kind of live up to its ability on paper?
And especially what happens early on as far as if OBJ's not getting the ball, right? And Landry
right.
is getting, you know, like, I know they played together in college and they love each other and they're buddies and all that. But you know how it is, Chris, when receivers aren't getting the ball and they're not happy about it, how does that play? How
yep.
about if they start out 0-2 or 0-3 and OBJ's not getting the football, really? Does he start talking about Baker? Right? Oh, you yep. know, like, I didn't come here. I didn't come to Cleveland not to catch the football. I can hear the quotes already. I didn't come here for this.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker. Weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific.
Rob, let's get to Jerry Jones and Ezekiel Elliott. I'll recap quickly kind of what's happened the last few days. Tony Pollard plays well in the preseason game, 5 carries, 42 yards, a nifty 14-yard touchdown run, broke a few tackles, looked good. Afterwards, Jerry Jones jokes about Ezekiel Elliott. He's asked, you know, how Pollard might have impact Zeke's play, whatever. He says, Zeke who? Okay.
Right, trying to be cute.
Right. Comes out that Zeke and his agent are not pleased. They are upset. They felt like it was disrespectful. Now Jerry Jones has to fire back, and here's what he said.
I've earned the right with Zeke to joke. Period.
Right.
I've earned it.
So have you guys had any conversations since then at all?
No. No. But let me be real clear about it. I've earned that right to joke.
Earned it how, Chris?
He was very serious.
Earned
he was
it
very
how?
Serious.
How did he earn it?
I think he's earned it.
How?
Now, I talked about it, you know, when we talked about Zeke. I get Zeke's being sensitive. I mean, he's in a very tough situation, and no matter how confident you may appear, you're in Cabo, it looks like, oh, everything's cool. He's not sweating it at all. You got to be sweating it.
You're sweating it.
Because you don't have
it.
Your money.
You're
right,
sweating so, it. You're not
right.
on the team. You don't have your money. You're getting fined every day you miss training camp. It's not – this is your livelihood.
Right.
It's not playing ball in the backyard.
Right. So I get Zeke being upset about it. But I do think Jerry Jones has earned the right to joke. And I say he's earned it right because he is stuck by Ezekiel Elliott. It's not just like Zeke's been this great player and no issues off the field. Jerry has stuck by Zeke with all his off-the-field transgressions. You know, from the domestic violence accusations to, you know, pulling down the woman's blouse in public to this latest thing in Las Vegas. So, you know, he's backed him up, and I think that's part of it. And also, Jerry has a history, whether it was Michael Irvin and all the travails he went through and other players. He's been there for his guys. And you know this, Rob, basically to a man, these players that formerly played for Jerry Jones, they swear by him and they think he's a really good owner for the players. And that's where, so I think his treatment of Zeke, being there for Zeke, and also for other players, I think that's why he's earned it. I don't want to overstate it like he's, you know, just this great, you know, awesome person. And, you know, I'm not saying all that. But I do think he's shown these guys, look, I got your back. You've said it before. He took on other owners. It took on the league. For Ezekiel Elliott.
No, he basically tried a coup. He did
right.
try a coup.
And so that's what I mean. And again, I think to joke, not to just straight up be mean-spirited and things like that, but to joke, I do think he's earned that right.
I just look at it as, and I could see where Ezekiel Elliott, you could call him sensitive, whatever you want to call him, but he knows he's the missing piece for the Cowboys, that if they're going to have that success, Chris, that they're looking for, that Jerry's looking for, and if that's really your dude and you really want him to feel good about himself, why are you joking at his expense? He's the missing piece. He's the piece you got to get if you want Dak to be able to do what he needs to do, and Amari Cooper, and you know what I mean? So that's the part that, if Chris, if I'm your boy, I don't expect you to be making jokes at my expense, because me and you are a team. We work together, and you're holding out on your contract at Fox Sports Radio. I wouldn't do that. I wouldn't demean right. you and act like
Chris
you would. Chris who? What?
Jonas is the man.
Exactly. am I right, though? And then I could say, oh, well, Chris, I'm just joking. I'm just joking. But do you see what I'm saying? Where you wouldn't be, would you be happy with that?
Not in a holdout situation. Now, look, obviously you and I go at it. We joke. We've earned that right with each other.
But I'm talking about in a holdout situation.
But yeah, holdout is tough. Jerry's got all the security of the money, and Zeke's got none. Yeah.
That's the only thing I'm saying, is I could see where that would make me feel a little like, is this dude really in my corner, or is he only in my corner when it's good for him? Do you see what I'm saying? Like, yeah, you went to bat for me because you were trying to win football games, and you need to win another Super Bowl to solidify your career, so you know you needed me. And now, because the games don't matter yet, Chris, right? These are all games that don't matter. Now you're joking and acting like you don't need me and you forgot who I am. So I could just see where it could be not the end of the world. I'm not trying to make it like that, Chris, but where Ezekiel Elliott could be like, man, that's kind of foul. Like, why are you doing me like that?
Yeah, I think the stuff Jerry's been saying recently, and you saw it with Jalen Smith when he signed him, the linebacker, yesterday. The comments Jerry made, you know, he's a team guy and he's never missed anything, and there's less pie to go around. Like, I think Jerry is dug in more than ever now. And I've been saying it since Zeke decided to hold out. I think it drags into the first couple of games of the season. And now I feel, I might be wrong, but I feel stronger about that now. You know, so we'll see. The leverage is going to swing heavily one way or the other once the season starts.
Because it still comes down to whether or not they win or lose. And Chris, right. I think if they lose to the Giants in the opener, all hell breaks loose.
Heck, even if they win and they can't run the football.
Right.